I want to read with you tonight from the 142nd Psalm, please. And while you're finding the place, may I say a big thank you to Denver tonight for his help in the meeting. You know, usually when I go out speaking, maybe there's a couple of us together, and we usually have about 20 minutes each. I do it in brethren style because in my early days I went to the brethren and was used with that. And so I'm thankful to Denver tonight for his help in the meeting. Psalm 142, please. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. May the Lord add his blessing on the reading of his precious word tonight. This 142nd Psalm is, or has been penned by, the psalmist David. If you have a good Bible tonight, you will notice at the top of the psalm, it says it was penned when he was in the cave. Remember, you're familiar tonight with the history of David. You will remember that Saul sought on many occasions to take his life. In 1 Samuel 20, chapter 20, after David had killed Goliath, you know, there was young women who came out of the cities and they sang, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And you know, Saul envied David from that moment on. And in the next two chapters of 1 Samuel, you will find that on 9 occasions, he sought to kill him. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, David says these words, I shall now one day perish by the hand of Saul. And then on another occasion he said, there is but a step betwixt me and death. David thought that surely Saul would eventually kill him. And here he's in the cave of Adullam and he's distressed. And you know, it seems as if his heart is overwhelmed within him, because he says in verse 4, he says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. That was the conclusion that David had come to when he wrote this psalm. But I want to say tonight that David had come to the wrong conclusion. For you see, up there in the king's palace, there was the king's son, Jonathan. And we're told in 1 Samuel chapter 19 that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. In fact, Jonathan took off his princely robes on one occasion and he laid them upon David, the shepherd's boy. And he gave him not only his robes, but his sword and his bow and his girdle. David, Jonathan really cared for David. You know, when you come into 2 Samuel chapter 1, we read there about Saul and Jonathan's death. And you know, David was really lamenting over Jonathan's death. He says, "I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan." He said, "Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of woman." So you can see tonight that Jonathan had really loved David. I want to take this little verse out of its context tonight. And I want to say to you, dear friend in the meeting, if you're here unsaved, that there's someone tonight who cares for your soul. You see, tonight God has shown to us in His Word, God has given to us a wonderful revelation in His Word that He's concerned about the souls of men and women. You remember when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden and God came looking for him in the cool of the day and He called out and He said, "Adam, where art thou?" I want to point out tonight it was God who was seeking Adam, not Adam who was seeking God. And Adam said to God, he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." You see, tonight, dear friends, that's what sin does. It brings fear. It brings guilt. It brings shame. But thank God there that day in the Garden of Eden, God spoke to the serpent and He said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thine head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There we have the first wonderful promise of a coming Redeemer. You know, dear friends, tonight in the meeting, isn't it wonderful that God should love you and I tonight? You know, over the past week, our pastor has been speaking from John 3 and 16. And how wonderfully, night after night, he brought this wonderful text before us. Can I just highlight two words in that text tonight? It's the word "loved" and "gave." For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's that word "love" and "give" tonight that gives color and warmth to this wonderful text. You know, someone has said tonight that love ever seeks to give. And as it gives, it lives, for it's love's prerogative to give and to give and to give. You know, when Paul was thinking about God's love, in Romans 5 and 8, he said this. He said, "God commended His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Dear friend in the meeting tonight, God is commending His love to you this evening. He's pointed out to you from His Word tonight that although you're a sinner on the broad road leading to a lost eternity, He loves you this evening and He longs to be your Savior. Yes, God cares tonight for your salvation. Our brother was praying in the prayer meeting tonight that, and reminding us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. When Paul's writing to young Timothy, and in the second chapter, he says this about God, "Who will of all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth?" Dear friend in the meeting tonight, if you're here unsaved, God cares for you. He's interested tonight in your salvation. He's not willing tonight that you should perish. I want to say this tonight. Not only does God care, but the Lord Jesus cares. You see, tonight, dear friends, we often sing that hymn. We often sing that hymn. He left the glory of heaven, knowing his destiny. Was a lonely hill of Golgotha there to die for you and for me. Isn't it wonderful to think tonight that the Lord Jesus was willing to go to the cross of Calvary and to shed his precious blood that you and I tonight might know the joy of sins forgiven and peace with God and a sure hope of heaven. You see tonight, dear friends, when Charles Wesley thought about that, he spoke about God's love. He said, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Isn't it amazing tonight that he would die? That he could die? And that he did die? Isn't it amazing tonight when you think of where he died? You know, Matthew tells us when they were come to the place called Golgotha, there they crucified him. You see, tonight Golgotha was known as a place of death. Thousands had died there before with screams and curses. And yet the Savior was willing to die there in Golgotha. Matthew 27 and 36 says this tonight. And sitting down, they watched him there. Underline the words tonight. Him there. Yes, it's amazing that he did die, that he could die. That he died at the place called Golgotha. Isn't it wonderful to think tonight who he died with? He was numbered with the transgressors. Dear friends, this evening, there he was hung up between two thieves. And you know, dear friends, one of the thieves, thank God, recognized who he was and was gloriously saved. Yes, think of how he died tonight. He was crucified. Those kind hands which did such good, they nailed him too. A cross of wood. Yes, friend, it really happened, you know, at the place called Golgotha. The greatest event in all the world happened because the Lord Jesus there upon that old rugged cross, he paid the great debt of your sin and mine. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus cares for you. He longs to be your Savior tonight. You know, a few weeks ago, I was up on the walls of Derry. I'd never been there before. And you know, as I was walking round the walls of Derry, the hymn that Mrs. Alexander penned came to me. In fact, I stood looking over the bog side and further afield. And I thought about the hymn when she said, there is a green hill far away outside the city wall where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. And you know, as I thought about Mrs. Alexander, I knew here was a lady who understood something about the cross and about Calvary and about the Lord Jesus. And I looked over the Craig of Hills and there was a dear friend with me that day. And he said, that's where that lady's buried, away over there on the hillside. But oh, what a lovely hymn she penned. Dear friend, tonight, The Lord Jesus loves you. He cares for you. I want to say this tonight. The Holy Spirit cares. He too cares for you this evening. You see, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And you say to me tonight, what is the Trinity? What's the Trinity doing today? Well, you see, it was God the Father who planned this great work of redemption. It was God the Son who paid the price for it. But you know, tonight it's the Holy Spirit who comes to the individual, who comes to the sinner, seeking to unite them with the Lord Jesus. You know, dear friends, maybe you've been coming to these meetings week after week. And maybe during the preaching of the Word, God has troubled your heart. Well, you know, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You know, in the closing chapter of Revelation, chapter 22, it says this, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Here's the Holy Spirit tonight inviting you to come and trust the Savior. You know, dear friends, you haven't forever to think about this matter. You know, that's why the Holy Spirit sometimes makes us stop and think and consider. Dear friend, tonight, if God is speaking to you about your soul's salvation, take heed tonight. If today you hear His voice, harden not your heart. I want to say this tonight, that there are folk in hell tonight who care. If you go to this awful place called hell. You know, tonight, dear friends, our brother in the morning meeting, speaking at the table, talked about hell. And you know, the Lord Jesus drew the curtain aside in Luke chapter 16. And He let us see into hell. The rich man lifted up his eyes in hell in torment. I want to say to you tonight, he could see. He could feel. He could remember. He had five brethren at home. And he said to Abraham, send Lazarus, lest they come to this awful place of torment. Dear friends, tonight hell is real. You know, Billy Graham in one of his books said this. He said, on many occasions, young people would come into the inquiry room and they would say to him, how can a God of love send me to hell? And he said, I would say to them, you know, God doesn't send anyone to hell. That's the decision or the choice that they make for themselves. Friend, how true that is tonight. You know, God has done everything possible to stop the sinner from going to a lost eternity. Maybe you've got a faithful pastor like we have here tonight. A faithful mother who's been praying for you, for your soul's salvation. God has done everything possible to stop you from going to a lost eternity. But I wonder tonight, what you will do with the Savior. Remember, dear friends, neutral, you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will He do with me? You know, during the Middle Ages, the lords of the manor, they had jesters to make them laugh and to tell jokes. And you know, this particular lord of the manor, he called his jester in one day and he said to them, he said, I'm going to give you something, he said, because you're the greatest fool I have ever met. He says, I'm going to give you this staff. And he said, if ever you find a greater fool than yourself, you give him this staff. And you know, some time went by, some years went by, and the jester heard that his master had took ill. And you know, he went to see him. And he said to him, Master, what's wrong? He says, I'm I'm going on a long journey. And the jester said to him, well, when are you coming back? He says, I won't be coming back. And then the jester said to him, have you made any preparation for this long journey? And the man said, no, I haven't. And the jester said to him, you're going on a long journey and you're never coming back and you've made no preparation. He said, I'm going to give this staff that you gave to me because you're a greater fool than I am. You know, dear friends, tonight all of us are heading for eternity. I was coming home last night along the Rostrava Road, and I thought about the two young fellows just a couple of weeks ago who were suddenly cut off into eternity. Not one of us knows what a day may bring forth. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, you need the Savior. If you miss the Lord Jesus and you go out into eternity, you'll be lost forever. You know, some years ago, my father, when he was alive, he rang me one morning. And he said to me, Ronnie, I want you to get over to the hospital here right away. And I knew there was an urgency about it. I got into the car and I headed for the hospital. And I met him and he said, your uncle's dying here, and I want you to go in and speak to him. Now, my father wasn't saved in those days, and I remember going into the little side ward in the hospital, and I looked at my uncle on the bed, and as I walked over to him, I realized he was unconscious, and I realized I was too late. I came out of the ward and I said to my father, Dad, he's unconscious. Do you know what he said to me? He said, get in again and speak to him. Even though he can't speak to you, maybe he'll hear you. My father was anxious that his brother, even though he wasn't saved himself, wouldn't go to a lost eternity. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, if you're here without the Savior, I would urge you tonight to come and trust Him. I can assure you if you come to Him this evening, He'll not cast you out. He'll take you in. Bless God, tonight He's able to save to the very uttermost all who will come unto God by Him. May the Lord bless His word to your heart tonight for His name's sake. We're singing 331, please, and we'll just